that to me points that some change is coming somehow, because it can't not change. We can't be spending all this time to build new technologies and ultimately ending up with the same problems. That feels a little off. And I don't know whether it's AI or federated storage or some unique cloud storage that would fix it, but we haven't fixed it. You're right.
This is the Detection at Scale podcast, a new show designed to help security practitioners succeed at managing and responding to threats at a modern cloud scale. As the volume of data increases and the attack surface expands, it's never been more important to stay ahead of the curve. Each episode will feature interviews with leading security practitioners, thought leaders, and company founders who are building the next generation of security tools. I'm your host, Jack Naglieri, founder and CEO of Panther Labs. Now let's get into today's show. Hey, welcome back to season two of Detection at Scale. I'm here again with Dr. Anton Chubakin. I like to say doctor just because I think it's kind of a cool accomplishment to highlight. And Anton has such a wealth of knowledge on anything related to detection and SIM and all things security. So Anton, welcome back.
Perfect. Thank you. And again, I'm very happy you mentioned the doctor. I'm not obsessed about it, but definitely appreciate it. It did take years of my life.
I see it in so many places. I feel like I just can't ignore it. Well, cool. I mean, the context for this conversation was that I wrote a blog post about how SIMs are evolving into data lake SIMs. And we had a little bit of conversation back and forth on LinkedIn. And someone had suggested we get on and discuss this and in a somewhat timely fashion as well. You came out with your blog post about the decoupled SIM. So I think that this is a trend that we could spend a lot of time talking about, and I'm actually really excited to talk about it. So why don't we just jump right in? So what is the decoupled SIM and what compelled you to write about it?
So that's a good question. And I think that what compelled me is definitely LinkedIn discussions. And I think specifically people making kind of broad, firm statements like X is the future or Y is dead. And I'm old enough to see that in our industry, almost nothing is ever truly dead. And, you know, IDS was dead in 2003. And of course, we still use IDS or equivalent technology. So in that sense, saying that X is the future or Y is dead is almost always wrong. But specific, so I kind of thought, no, there must be some kind of a nuance to that. And do I want my security vendor to invent new storage technology? That sounds like a stupid idea. So maybe I should rely on a storage vendor for storage and on security vendor for security. But then I go back and think to my dark past with the previous generation of SIM vendors that relied on relational databases. And they all said, we don't know storage. We're just going to rely on the storage vendor of the moment, which at the time probably was Oracle. And the results over time turned out to be bad. So it's almost like a weird conundrum. We started with people using commercial off-the-shelf storage, generic storage for SIM. Some kind of badness happened. People said, vendor said, we're going to reinvent it and we're going to build our own storage. And they did. And everything's happy and great. And then now suddenly we're like, no, that's wrong. We should just use this beautiful cloud scale storage we have and things would be great. And I'm like, the previous time, that's what you said when you switched away from commercial storage. So I was kind of befuddled myself, like what is right and is there right? And that's what compelled me to write a somewhat inconclusive blog after reading yours and after reading the, I think, Ross's LinkedIn post, where he also made a strong statements about security and data and stuff like that. So this is the story.
Why do you think this is happening now? Because cloud storage isn't new. S3 is one of the oldest services Amazon offers. So why do you think this is emerging as a thing people are talking about now?
So this is tricky. And I don't think I have a crisp, beautiful answer. It is possible that we've run the runway to the end of the previous storage choices. It's almost like when Splunk and Elastic and others, and even ArcSight at the time, and other SIM vendors, pretty much everybody switched to their own storage of different types. They improved things over RDBMS. But alongside security evolution, storage evolved. And we now have, you know, BigQuery, we have Snowflake, we have all sorts of other beautiful cloud scale storage options, right? And maybe the question of whether to use log specific storage or general storage should be answered differently today compared to 2010, 9. Maybe the runway of the previous tech is over. Maybe they're going to either take off and change, or they're going to be kind of boxed as a smaller business solution. I don't know. That part is a hypothesis.
I mean, there's a clear pattern that I've seen, at least, which is people have a SIM that has a subset of their data, and hey, wouldn't it be great to get all of our data, or the part of the big data that matters? And I think that's where this originates from.
This is, though, is a risky statement to make, because this is exactly how the previous revolution in the opposite direction happened. I have my, this is 2007, I have my ArcSight, my NetForensics, my whatever else there was there, and it has a subset because it only parses some things and it doesn't have any concept of raw storage. And then Splunk comes in, or LogLogic comes in, and later Elastic comes in, and they say, this parsing stuff. No, just load up all the stuff. But we are now in the same place, almost like when people have a subset of data in that generation of tools that used to promise full storage.
I mean, I think we hit that limit a long time ago, though, at least for me as a practitioner.
Yeah,
I hit that limit 10 years ago when I came to Silicon Valley. We were trying, you know, I was on a team that had an enormous amount of data, and we tried to put it into one of the vendors, and it just completely failed. And I think that's been a pattern for a long time. And obviously, SIM has, there's multiple ways that it can, like, quote unquote, fail.
Yeah.
But on the most basic sense, it's like, can you have all the data in one place? That's not really a solved problem yet. And I think that's why we're even talking about this, right?
Yes, correct. And I think that the creative, beautiful, intelligent filtering is part of the current zeitgeist. I think I'm talking about Cribble and similar vendors where, and even we're not even touching on decentralized federated storage. So filtering probably won't be like the answer for everybody. Like it helps a lot if your SIM vendor is not scaling. I can't put another vendor between your sources and your SIM vendor, and it would do some filtering magic and aggregation and amazing, interesting things that would preserve the value of the data without overrunning the volume. But that still is not a way to hit all use cases. Sometimes I really do want all the data. I mean, like, no nuance.
And there's a massive set of vendors in that space, not even just filtering, but also ETL. Mm-hmm. And that's emerging even more. So, and I think the market does support decoupling as an observation, but I think on a very basic sense on data source to its destination, but not really beyond that. Because as you point out in your Medium post, if you decouple everything, then you have a completely decoupled experience too. And we all know that security teams are short-staffed, or, you know, just really can't focus on gluing all these things together. So it's really this interesting paradox happening.
Yep.
Right. So I guess from your perspective, if you're saying integration is really important, then is decoupling not going to work broadly?
So this is very painful. And I think somebody called me an idiot on Facebook, funny enough, and not that I engage in many technical discussions on Facebook, but I've brought up a point that for some organizations, any kind of engineering or gluing things together is just a non-starter. They want to consume security. They don't want to engineer anything. They say, we have a problem. Problem is X. We're going to go search for anti-X. And then somebody says, yeah, we stop X, or we handle X, or we collect X and make analysis of it. And they buy that, and they deploy, and the X is at least somewhat solved. And if it doesn't get solved, they throw this away and say, better anti-X or next generation anti-X. And that's all they do. They are vendor managers. So if you talk to them about gluing anything together, they look at you like you are the dinosaur from outer space. I don't know. I'm really mixing metaphors. Like, what do you mean this? I want a SIM. Just here's money. Give me SIM. And that's, they don't want to know about things like ETL or, oh yeah, for OCSF, you can directly load to storage. But for this type of data, this goes through Logstash here, and then it goes to this pipeline and then into storage. Like, all of this sounds like, no, I don't want that. I just want a SIM. Here's money. Give me SIM. Integrated seemed to be the answer still, even today, for this crowd.
How do you feel about the idea of, well, let's talk actually a little bit about operating on top of data that exists, because this is a pattern that we're seeing a lot of. And by the way, security is completely unoriginal in this case, because if you go look at Snowflake and Databricks, all those patterns are what you need to just do good intelligence on anything, right? Like any type of data. And there's a lot of really interesting talks out there about how people are doing this on top of Databricks for security, like namely Apple. Mm-hmm. Like Dom was the guy who had the famous talk like at the Databricks conference, and it was super fascinating. But then you listen to him and it's like, this is just normal data engineering applied to security. So I don't know, like, what's your read on this shift to the data platforms themselves? And do you think that, and this might be a crazy statement, but like, do you think that someone like a Snowflake or a Databricks is going to be the next Splunk, in that they start generalized, but then they're like, okay, actually all these concepts are needed for security, so we're going to do that now?
Okay, so I need to be really careful here, because when it happened the previous time, I sort of bet against the market because I bet that these approaches would fail, and they beautifully failed. Think Cloudera and Hortonworks, mm-hmm. they all said, hey, we have the data platform, we're just going to hire some security guys, some really smart guys, and they would build content, they would build detection, all analytics is largely the same. And their success record is roughly zero, and their failure record is roughly 100%. So, and I can, you know, poke fun at how they went about it wrong, but it's very hard for me today to bet the opposite way. Like, some analytics is similar, and some of the primitives, some of the, you know, things you would do are similar, or like search is similar, but I don't know. It just hasn't, in the long term, at least in the past, this security specialist ended up on top, and the generalist, with few exceptions, end up in the ditch. So that's why my preconceived notion is to bet against the generalists. But you can tell me that, but Anton, you're so 2010. Things are completely different now. And I won't know what to tell you, because maybe they are. And in this case, I'm wrong. but historically, I was leaning to bet against the general platforms and bet on the security specialists. And that ultimately, that's what happened in the past.
But doesn't that contrast a little bit of what happened with Elastic and Splunk, though? Because they started general, right?
It does contrast what happened with Splunk. Elastic, to me, is jury still out. I don't want to judge vendors. It's fortunately not my job anymore. But let's lead them out. I'm not paid to judge vendors anymore, so I don't want to judge vendors. But I think that Splunk is absolutely a contrarian example of somebody who started with a general data platform and then ramped up security strength. But I feel like Splunk genuinely built a lot of security knowledge, and it was a multi-year, decade-plus journey from them first being mentioned in the footnotes of a CMMQ. I don't recall what it was, but I'm pretty sure they were mentioned in the footnote by somebody. And by the way, there's this cool upstart vendor called Splunk that are trying to do X, whatever. And then 10 years later, they're SIEM leader for 10 years, maybe? Again, I don't have an MQ in front of me, but the point is that it took hard work, genuine hard work, to build security content, security relationships, security workflows, couple of misbets that I don't want to judge as well. Some things worked out, some things didn't. But it wasn't like, hey, now we become magically a security platform, even though they were a data platform. And then from Tuesday next week, it's happening. Like, I don't think that happened. Moreover, some people who tried that have very much ended up not where Splunk ended up. And then their journey, I have one particular vendor in mind that I won't name, that tried to shift from IT to security and hit the ditch and hit the wall and ended up in the ditch. So yes, Splunk was a beautiful success story in this regard.
Yeah, and they're still, I mean, they're still the leader. I think everyone accepts that, right? Like, and under Cisco, it should be really interesting to see how that boosts their channel for their business. And obviously it's going to, because Cisco is such a massive machine. So it's interesting to see like that full circle. And then I think we've seen a few others play out as well. I mean, we saw something similar with Sumo, where they like were general and then pivoted into security and then they were acquired by PE. So I think it's just interesting to see how everything's evolving. But cloud, I think, has a lot to do with a lot of this, meaning the transition in the cloud.
Yes.
There's been this interesting sequence of things where you had you know, I'll call the 2010s cohort of tools, the Splunks, Elastics, and like they have done a great job of solving those problems. And then there was like this intermediate period in the middle where it was like the traditional SIMs, but run on the cloud, which didn't really work, I guess, as much.
That's too harsh. That's too harsh. I think that I'm thinking Securonix and Exabeam, I think they transitioned to cloud. I think they've, I mean, if this were 2017, we can poke fun about how they're just trying, whatnot. But ultimately, again, I promise not to judge vendors, and guess what I'm doing, judging vendors. But I'm judging them positively. Haha, don't hate me. I think it worked out for them, but the cloud transition.
So I guess I'm still trying to pick apart why we are where we are. So it's like, because if you think about it, if it had the wide appeal, then wouldn't they be more prominent than Splunk? Because I think Splunk is still widely accepted as like the best thing, because maybe it goes back to your point of like integration, mindshare, and it's like the IBM quote, right? Like no one ever got fired for buying IBM, right? Like I think that's like the joke around it. It's like, okay, well, I'm just going to do this because we have enough repeatability here. But there's something about this cloud transition that I don't think we've nailed yet. And I think we're still trying to figure it out, right? Like we don't know if it's decoupled, if it's microservices, if it's AI agents doing everything for us, you know.
Or maybe it's federated storage of some sort. We don't know. But I think you're right that it's not a solved problem. And this is also kind of peculiar because what I've observed sometimes is people highlight challenges in a typical SOC. And it was like a surreal story. I was looking at some deck built by somebody about challenges in SOC, and they had the six challenges. And I looked at this deck and I thought, holy cow, when I came to NetForensics 20 years ago, I think we had the same slide and it had the same exact challenges. And I had this kind of like moment of like explosion in my head, like, holy cow, why is 2023 SOC challenges is the same as 2003 SOC challenges with almost no difference? That to me points at some change is coming somehow, because it can't not change. We can't be spending all this time to build new technologies and ultimately ending up with the same problems. It feels a little off. And I don't know whether it's AI or federated storage or some unique cloud storage that would fix it, but we haven't fixed it. You're right.
The more I think about it, the more I agree with you that integration is probably going to be the fastest way to time to value. And that sounds very obvious when you say it out loud, right? But there's still this desire to decouple things. But going back to cloud, I think in my post, the thing that I wrote was moving to the cloud necessitated us to take a new foundational approach to our architectures. And I think that's one of the catalysts to why we're having this conversation. So do you agree that data lakes are actually required, or at least a data lake architecture is required to do SIM in 2023, regardless of if it's decoupled or not?
So wait, in this case, we have to agree on a clear definition of data lake architecture versus, well, not data lake architecture. Would somebody backend into Hadoop in 2013 have a data lake architecture? I would say probably yes. What about somebody backend into Elastic? Would they be in a data lake architecture?
But Elastic isn't a data lake. Why not?
Oh yeah, great. But so fine. So what does it mean in this case, a data lake architecture?
From my perspective, a data lake architecture is commodity storage with separated compute on top of that. So data lives in a structured format and it's almost like a data warehouse-ish, right? I mean, what's the data warehouse? It's a massive relational database that can process petabytes of logs, right? The data lake decouples storage and compute, right? And that's Snowflake's whole like marketing campaign there. And then now there's the data lake house that, you know, Databricks has been coining. So there's a lot of evolution here, but the gist is structured data in some format in commodity storage, and then you have some way of loading it that's not completely tied to storage. So they're decoupled. We're using the word decoupled.
We are overloading the term decoupled, but it's decoupled on the storage layer. Ooh, so this is a hard one. Is this required?
Yeah.
Okay, if it's required, I would assume the question would be required for scale, right?
Yeah.
Because if not for scale, I don't really see why it's required. Because if you have a cluster of, let me pick something unimpressive, a cluster of MySQL servers. Okay, that's as unimpressive as it goes. If I store data in a cluster of MySQL servers, I'm not doing the data lake architecture, but at small scale and medium scale, that probably would be fine, right?
Probably, but not from a utility perspective. If we go back to like, what are the problems we're solving, or if we define what the problems we're solving are, maybe that's actually important here, right? Like, what are we doing in a SIM, right? We're threat hunting, we are doing proactive analysis, we're running our rules, you know, all the all the same things we've been doing forever. Right. And then once we see something, like for example, there's a breach, we need to investigate it, we need to go back to all of our logs and answer all these questions. Like, you know,
And I want to not wait for the answer also. Like if I am investigating, nobody has time to take a coffee break query that people would maybe take a multi-second query sometimes, but of course they would prefer not to bias things our way, kind of a Google speed for search. Like they want stuff to come up right away and they wouldn't want to say, yeah, well, it would take 5 minutes. And then you remind them that 10 years ago, some queries took 3 hours and people were okay with that. So if you collect all that volume of data, real-time detection, running rules, hunting, investigation, and workflow, and attribute it to one system, and then you demand very quick response to pretty much every query, even if going back months, maybe not years, I think something like a modern data lake would have to be the backend, yes. But I'm saying this with some hesitations because I feel like there's still a bit of a degree of debate about what truly constitutes data lake. I think your definition makes sense to me, that it's a system that decouples compute from storage. So if so the 10,000 MySQL servers would not be a data lake.
Yeah, that'd be a homegrown data warehouse. I mean, that's effectively what data warehousing is, right? It's just commodity storage. It's all these things. So, and I mean, I don't know if this is right, but would you consider BigQuery a data warehouse, cloud data warehouse, similar to Snowflake?
This gets into an area where I don't have the crisp enough definition to say that what would be the data lake versus warehouse versus like modern storage. Yeah. I think we do say cloud data warehouse if you go to the BigQuery webpage. So this is like as far as I would go. But I also feel like the terms evolved because I think the term data warehouse is, I don't think it's the 1980s, but it's probably 1990s, right? When the term was invented. So I think there's also a definition modernization thing that's ongoing. A data lake, now I almost feel like I want to Google for the term data lake and figure out when this was first introduced. But I wouldn't be shocked if it's a while.
I mean, it has to be the last 5 years, is my guess.
Data lake? No, I guess.
Longer?
Yes, longer. Yeah. I recall, so back in the Gartner days, even in the early part of my Gartner days, so that means probably 2012, 2013, when Hadoop emerged, a lot of people were obsessing about how Hadoop is going to revolutionize security, data analysis and whatnot. There were a bunch of vendors who said that we're going to use Hadoop and we're going to be unbeatable. You guys with RDBMS is going to lose out. But magic largely didn't happen. So I think data lake is probably older than 5 years. Of course, yeah, I'm not smart. At this point, I'm not sure.
I mean, it certainly hasn't. It's only become more mainstream though in the last few years, I would say.
Yes, for sure. And the obsession that it better be a data lake is definitely more recent. So Bart thinks it's 2010 term. So it's very possible that it's correct. But I mean, the term appearance versus technology being seen as critical. Yeah, you're probably right. So that means what, 13 years ago. So maybe 5-7 years ago, more people started talking about data lakes.
Yeah. So you had a few comments. I think you've said this a few times around MySQL. You're like, MySQL is not a security query language.
I don't know why I'm picking on MySQL. It's probably because nobody cares about them anymore or something. I don't know.
But why? Why do you feel so negatively? And by the way, I don't disagree with you. I think MySQL is not the language for that. But what's your reasoning for it?
Oh, sorry. No, it wasn't the language. It's two things. I made snide remarks about SQL for data analysis, but in this case, I meant MySQL as a database, which at the time, it wasn't known for like scaling. So if you add more things, it may scale eventually, but it would be sort of through an ad hoc solution. But I made snide remarks about SQL as a way to do security data analysis. And that's a whole other possibly useful avenue to pursue. Hopefully we wouldn't make anybody mad by this.
It's just so fascinating. There's so many different conflicting wants from the market because I also hear people are like, well, you know what? I want to be able to take my data and go somewhere else one day. And if that just goes so against the whole concept of a workflow.
I mean, it never worked in our domain in SIM. Like even if you look at, go back to some old times and when two SIMs would use Oracle for storage, does it mean you can keep your Oracle, cut off your SIM, put another SIM? Of course not. Because everybody used Oracle differently in all sorts of subtle, bizarre ways. And I don't think storage was replaceable, even if it's the same storage. Look at all the multi-petabyte migrations. I had, somebody says, I had Splunk for 10 years. Now I want to migrate to Panther. How about that? A random example. I mean, they're not really copying every bit of data from Splunk to Panther. The pain versus value of this effort is too staggering.
And especially in Splunk, where it's schema on read. Mm-hmm. That's like a perfect example, right? It's like Splunk has all the knowledge of knowing how this schema on read really gets operationalized. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of the same story with any data. And by the way, I didn't pay Anton to plug Panther. I promise. I try to always stay as neutral as possible and just talk about like the core of like the issues behind these things. So yeah, I mean, I agree. I think it's a pattern I'm seeing in Iceberg too. Because Apache Iceberg, are you familiar with the project?
Yeah, I've heard the name. I don't know exactly what it does. I just know it exists.
I mean, I'll give you the TLDR. So I mean, this is another good plug for my blog that I wrote, but like projects like OCSF, which are trying to be neutral on log schema formats,
yep.
Iceberg, and there's two others that are particularly notable, which is Delta and Hoodie, Apache Hoodie, and they're all open source projects. And the whole idea is that it's an open table format. So when you're querying a data lake, you can basically swap the engine out, and then it knows where the data is because all the table metadata is in an open place. So,
this decoupling metadata from storage.
Exactly. From the query engine.
From the query engine.
Because historically, what you would do is you would basically say, and this is how Snowflake works, you put your data in S3 and then you upload it to Snowflake, and then it's copied into Snowflake. It's compressed, it's column based, it's all these things, and it has all the metadata there. And same with Amazon. You use Glue, which is the metadata store, all these things, right? And then with Spark-based systems, which basically all this is, by the way, that's kind of the point I make in the blog post, which is like, we're basically all just Spark at the end of the day. There's all these various components, and now there's this push for more neutrality, which is really fascinating to me. But I don't see how it really plays out fully if you're trying to be a workflow tool, right? And how you interface with that data is so dependent on performance, which is true, right? Like you can't just like swap in and be like, okay, cool, now I'm going to magically solve all my high scale problems, because you don't know anything about the data now, and you have to go learn about the data for it to be meaningful. And that's true with any system, right?
Like, and relearn, not just learn, but relearn, because you may have learned it at 2x, you migrated to y, and some of the metadata is not portable, no matter how many of these efforts gain prominence, right? Parsing peculiarities in vendor x versus vendor y, I don't think that's solvable probably ever in our beloved domain of cyber, right?
Yeah.
Like you parse things in a particular way, Chronicle parses things in a particular way, Splunk, what do we call it? The common information model parses them in a different way. And we may have opinionated differences about where what goes. So I don't see how a generic metadata layer can ever exist. Unless logs are standardized, like then back to OCSF. But I think that's another windmill we may have to fight for a while, right?
Yeah. I just see this pattern of everyone's trying to be the data lake right now.
Yep.
Right. I see everyone's trying to be the data lake, and then I also see everyone trying to be the sim. Because
everybody's trying to be a sim is, I'm not sure you're right. What do you mean everybody? Well, like,
so I'll give you an example.
Sim is hard. Sim is hard. As you know by now.
But look at some of the acquisitions we saw in the last few years. And when I say a few years, I mean like, I don't know, like three, 4 years. CrowdStrike and SentinelOne are perfect examples. Right.
Yes.
They were using Splunk or Splunk-ish things. Mm-hmm. Because their customers wanted a way to query through the logs, and then now they're bringing it in house, and to me it seems like they're trying to just be a sim now, right? Yep. But that's going to conflict with the data platforms, because what Snowflake and Databricks doing, they're trying to be this ecosystem of data, and they're trying to be the gold standard, and I would argue they are the gold standard for those things, for data engineering, for data storage, for like all those things, like that's their whole bread and butter. And you know, Databricks, obviously founders of Spark, right? Like years of intuition, those things. And same with Snowflake, they're both doing the same thing ultimately in different ways. But it just seems like everyone's racing to be that data store. And it doesn't seem like—
But they're all doing integrated in that sense. In that sense, they're all not doing decoupled. They're all doing, we bought a vendor that built its own unique data store for logs. We're going to incorporate it in our other tech. So it's almost like there's an epic battle of people who rely on, say, Snowflake, BigQuery, or other scalable cloud storage, and the other side is people who build their own.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, there will be some kind of a showdown, right? when the people who backend to sort of stock, but modern storage would have to fight vendors who backend to homegrown storage,
yeah.
Modern as well, but homegrown for their purpose. And I don't know. I mean, maybe we should do this podcast in 3 years and see which side won, or whether there's like some kind of a uneven truce.
I mean, the thing that I do know is that the products that grow fast solve very specific problems. And I think that's why CrowdStrike is a great example of that.
Mm-hmm.
And other cloud security vendors, like, it's just very well defined. And I think when you start introducing, trying to be the SIEM, it's like, you're probably going to get some of that from your own data, but trying to pull all of the logs into that is going to be really hard unless you are the,
yes,
you're at the center of gravity. So
yes.
Yeah, I don't really know what the solution is, but I feel like the cloud platforms and the data platforms have the most potential from my perspective, mm-hmm. because they're best suited to operate at scale and apply the proper data engineering practices for something like a decoupled model to work.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically...
But, okay, so I agree with you, but let's go in a time machine together and fly to 2007, and then you'd make an argument that every SIEM would beckon to Oracle because Oracle really knows data and they are the scalable data store and every big business uses Oracle and Oracle is great and you'd build this case that every SIEM should use Oracle and that's the best choice. And in 2008, I'd be like, yep. And then in a year, Splunk would appear and we'd be proven wrong. By the way, I am saying this not to be argumentative. I'm just genuinely trying to test the hypothesis. So imagine we are having this argument and you just convinced me that yes, every SIEM forever would backend to Oracle. They just know data. But then in 2 years, Splunk appears, Elastic appears, and things turn to a different direction. Mm-hmm. Why can't this happen today? Just replace, you know, Oracle the Snowflake. Like, you build a good case why they should be the center and then they're not.
Well, I'm a huge believer that we need to go back and learn from the past.
Mm-hmm.
I think the past is often the most indicative hint to the future. So you're certainly inspiring me in a few ways, but where my mind goes is that it seems like the solution here is someone needs to be the platform, like the security specific platform in some way.
Oh, okay. That's a good third choice. There would be a security specific data storage ideal for telemetry.
Mm.
And they would be the backend. But that's an interesting one.
Because actually the inspiration I got from that was if you look at Datadog, they're, mm-hmm. I think, a great example of this. They are an observability company that is going really hard into security. And because they already have the data and workflow flowing through their mm-hmm. system, it's just a channel at this point. They're like, cool, you want to do this with security? Probably not going to be the like high scale log analytics thing that you want,
mm-hmm.
but it is going to solve like XYZ basic needs. And I think for some people, that's good enough. But obviously for others, as you point out, the teams that want decoupled are the ones who have these like big data analytical needs. It just seems like maybe that's the third option here, which is that those underlying platforms are just implementation details, which is probably the best thing anyway, right? Like, why should it matter to the buyer what it is? If they are buying one thing, who cares if it's running whatever? Like, there's a bunch of options these days too for OLAP, right? There's like ClickHouse.
But I mean, if I'm investigating, I want an immediate answer. Like, I don't want to have the... and ideally, I also don't want to know, you know, SQL, KQL, or SPL. I'm not trying to say AI bot would transcend this, but ultimately, I want very quick search without knowing the details of a language, right? Like, this to me is a kind of a natural use case. Like, I want to know what I want to know. I want it now, and I don't want to learn a language for it. Like, this is probably true. And I another sad story from good number of years ago, which I think would date me again, is there's a question about reporting. Like, you have reports in your product. We have reports in our product. Other people have reports. Pretty much everybody who does SIEM in any shape or form has reports. And many, many years ago, some SIEM vendor said, we're going to use Crystal Reports. I don't even know Crystal Reports, whether they still exist, but it was a 90s thing, which would plug into a database and you can do reports. And they said, they're the best at reports. We're just going to use their reports. And ultimately, that approach made total sense and it completely crashed. Nobody has canned reporting built not by the security vendor in their security product, or almost nobody, maybe some people do. So this is almost like sometimes you go follow some intuitive thread and logically you arrive at the conclusion and you look outside of your window and it's not what happened.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing I've always believed is the company has to be a security company in some way. And I guess Splunk proves that wrong, but they're probably the outlier.
That's my suspicion. This is like we are sort of playing the armchair analysts on TV, well, on the podcast. But I suspect that it's the case. And I've met some people who were inspired by this example, gave it their all, and failed. So, which sort of confirms the outlier theory that if you are a general slash IT slash data platform and you say, hey, I'm going to sprinkle some security dust, I'm going to be a security vendor just like Splunk. And then they forget that Splunk worked hard for 10 years, for years, before they became a robust SIM vendor. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just them deciding and saying, ah, security, it's pretty much the same search. It was hard work by very smart people over many years.
That's true. And a lot of it is the content around it as well. I mean, that's a huge part of this for the same reason that we even said before that people just want to solve their problem. And they don't want to start from nothing. And I think that that's actually a really good evidence to support this integrated approach.
I don't want to sell you on a classic SIM from a long time ago, but like if I have content, engine, and data that perfectly work together well, fast, easy, effective, detect threats, I would want that. But under the hood, you may well have decoupled storage from vendor, you know, X or S or whatever. Mm-hmm. But as a user, I do want my content, my engine that runs the content, and my storage that engine refers to work together well. And in case of Splunk, it's the same vendor. In case of, you know, Panther, it's two vendors, right? Essentially, the U and the storage.
Yeah.
And somebody else tried to do it from three vendors, where somebody has the engine, somebody has content, and somebody has backend. That hasn't really worked for anybody.
Yeah.
Last time I checked. But the user, as a user, I want content, engine, and backend to be friends, to be married, to be harmoniously working together.
What do you think's behind the incentive for OCSF? I sort of get like the, you know, for the better of security, I guess, but you have two big businesses pushing this. Why do you think that is? They don't integrate either, like Splunk and Amazon are.
I genuinely think it's an effort to benefit the community. I'm not aware of any secret agenda, and I suspect there isn't any. I think that this is the, you know, natural desire of people to not do stupid parsing work.
Mm, I agree.
Individually. And I mean, you have an integration lab, and every other SIM vendor would have an integration lab, and their integration lab are hard at work since, I don't know, the exact birth year for SIM, 1997. So somebody somewhere has been cranking device integrations nonstop in some basement since 1997. That's like a horrible thought. It's a horrible thought.
True.
And imagine that you show up and say, with OCSF, you can stop. You can stop doing that thing that you've been doing since 1997, and things would still work. That's amazing. Like when I was passionate about this and tried MITRE common event expression, CEE, we thought we can do it. Ultimately, CEE failed, and there was no log standard. And OCSF is the current champion, current leader of standardizing, normalizing logs so that 20 SIM vendors would not have to maintain data integration labs for decades and build in, you know, has anybody asked you to build a parser for Windows 2000? I'm curious. It's a legit question. What about Windows 2003? What about Windows 2003?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay, good. So then maybe 2008, maybe you do support. but to not have that. And so if it saves me time, I may not care if it saves you time as well, as long as I save enough time. So to me, this is a little push behind OCSF. Like it ultimately make things better for all of us.
It definitely makes the training of how to do the SIM job easier. Right.
Yes. It also makes understanding of the data, makes training the future algorithms, analytic modules, AI, whatever else easier.
True.
Because the data is normalized. Yeah, you can transfer learnings. You can do other things. In theory, you can train data on vendor S and then move to vendor Y and then reserve some of the training. So this is like maybe far-fetched, but if we both use the same schema, then it's fine. I mean, as a minor side point, there are some people who say that, who naively say that SIEM vendors are not incentivized to support a log standard because ultimately they prefer to charge customers for their integration labs. I think that to me is kind of more of a conspiracy theory. I don't think it's the truth. I think that if I am a SIEM vendor and somebody says, starting Monday, all logs are normalized, I would be like, now I can compete on security and not on the who has fewer bugs and stupid parsers. Like, yeah. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm naive.
I like that line, you know, competing on security and not on data pipeline. I think that makes a lot of sense because that's the ultimate value that those vendors need to provide anyway.
Yep.
So what are the takeaways, Anton? What can we leave folks with today listening to this conversation?
One point I wanted to make is that we are probably too early to call in terms of the quote-unquote correct or best storage backend for modern SIEM. I think that you make a really good case that something like Snowflake works well. And people like Splunk make a really strong case that the homegrown but purpose-grown, purpose-built storage is a good answer. Our friends in Microsoft and actually, well, Google with Chronicle make a case that homegrown modern storage for logs is the right choice. So I actually don't know who's right. Some people backend to BigQuery. They are Exabeam. I think they backend to BigQuery. They're making a case that BigQuery is the right choice. So I don't know, A, what's the right choice, and B, whether there is a right choice.
It's a little sad
as a conclusion, but that's what I have.
It's actually even more complicated across clouds too, because you have big enterprises who live in multiple clouds. So that also throws a wrench into things.
Well, Snowflake, your answer, your version of an answer is fine with that, right?
Mostly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's a whole other thing we didn't talk about, which is like query federation. Like, is that right. The thing, right? Like, who knows? There's its own downsides to that too.
Yes, that's of course my previous somewhat annoying blog about federated storage and federated queries and whether it can ever work across vendors. But that's that's a big debate for the future, I think, as well.
Yeah, I need to read that. That sounds really interesting.
Like people hear us debate this and say, I hate you all. I don't want storage. I just want to send query into the ether and have it bring data from storage paid by some suckers somewhere, but not me. Like, I want that too, but I don't know if I can have that. Are there enough people who would hold logs reliably for me without me paying for it?
But yeah, it definitely does seem too early to call.
Yeah,
I agree with that. I think there's too much evolving too fast. I mean, even OCSF is only just at V1 as an example of the thing we talked about. And Snowflake and Databricks and these other, I mean, even Amazon, right? Like, look, the security lake is now emerging as a player in the space. So it's too early to see how that will materialize. But I think for people listening, it's important to at least understand the dynamics that are changing. And that's why I wrote my blog, because I felt like that was a pattern that we're seeing consistently that could solve a lot of the problems that people talk about.
Yes, that's very true. And I think that's a good one. The dynamic, like, it's not about like we talked for an hour and we have the answer for you and here's the answer. It's more about we have the forces that are at work and we outline the forces, and then now you can do your own math or your own physics and judge where the forces would lead you. Somebody may go and buy Curator as a result and be fine.
Anton, this is great. Really appreciate your insight as always. Looking forward to see what blogs come from this and what people think and how things change in the next few years. I think it's going to be interesting. And at the end of the day, the most that we can do is guide people on how to make the right decisions and how to solve their security problems. I mean, that's why I became a founder. I wanted to help with that. And I felt like at the time when I was a practitioner that we needed a more scalable data backend. And that was one thing that I was very certain about. And that's why I became a founder. And things have changed a lot since then. And now data lakes are more industry accepted. But I didn't even realize it at the time that that's what that was. I was just a security guy, right? And I was very naive on data engineering, but I learned. So as long as we can continue paying attention to this and help folks solve their security problems so we have less breaches, I think that's ultimately the goal here.
whatever storage they use, as long as we can detect well, reliably, without breaking the bank.
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot of forces at play, especially with all the cost savings needs that we have today from interest rates and things like that. So it's a good point. But I really appreciate your time. I had a great time talking with you. And we should do it again in like a year. And then we'll look back and be like, all right, let's react to this video.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, that's a good idea. Looking forward to it.
Thank you for listening to the Detection at Scale podcast brought to you by Panther Labs. For access to the latest episodes, please visit our website at www.runpanther.io/podcast. And for those interested in running Panther, head to our website, runpanther.io, to sign up for a free trial. You'll get a dedicated instance with the ability to analyze your security logs in real time at any scale powered by Detections as Code and sending into a very robust security data lake. Our goal is to make detection and response easy, scalable, and fast for you, the practitioner. Thanks. See you again next time.